Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. 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 Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And welcome to everyone. Welcome to Spirit of Life Service for Wednesday, October 21st, 2015. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. We're going to have a great show tonight. I'm really excited. We're going to have Dr. Brian Parsons on. It's always fun to have Brian here.
Yes, always. And we'll announce him in just a few minutes. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, ICMH Church also has several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which helps friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, and MetaphysicsInstitute.org, where you can get your bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysical science, spiritual counseling, life coaching, holistic healing, hypnosis, and several other areas, including paranormal research. And we'll also be launching a new school here in the next few days, which we'll announce, talk about more probably in next week's program. As we get into the program, I'd like to read our abbreviated principles of belief. The extended versions are on our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. There are 9 principles of belief. The first one is do no harm, do right. Second, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Number 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. Number 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And number 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And again, for an expanded discussion of these 9 principles of belief, please visit metaphysicalhumanism.org. All right, so as Dr. Hunter just mentioned, we have a special guest returning yet again to the program, Dr. Brian Parsons, who is the executive director of Paranexus.org, and he has a number of things going, his own websites, which I'll let him announce here, but let's welcome him first. Welcome, Dr. Brian.
Thank you, Dr. Doug, Dr. Vicki. It's great to be back on the show.
Yeah.
It's changed a little bit since I've last been on.
How so?
You no longer get to see my gorgeous mug.
I no longer have to put makeup on before the show.
Oh, yeah, because you were doing the video. Duh.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were.
I'm blonde. I'm a little slow sometimes. Okay.
That's okay. You'll catch up.
Yeah.
You know, to get us started tonight, I did pull a card because we have our inner oracle self-discovery cards. And I did pull one card to get us started, and I think it's really appropriate as we have Dr. Brian here, and it's the power of belief. And we're going to talk about a few really interesting things tonight, but the power of belief, and everybody who's listening or in the archives later, belief is the most powerful force in the universe. One's beliefs are responsible for one's successes and failures. It's also important to realize that you cannot disbelieve in one thing without also believing in something else. So this is going to be really interesting when we talk about, I know I have a few questions for Dr. Brian about what's the latest chatter in the internet and so on in paranormal research or other things, but belief is a really important part of all that.
It's funny that you'd mention that. The power of belief. That's actually the name of quite a few presentations that I put on at libraries and conventions that I've been at all across the country, the power of belief, more specifically in the paranormal, has been my topic because people have very strong beliefs, and obviously beliefs make up the core of everything about us, from how we live our lives to decisions that we make, and from who we vote for to, you know, what we believe in, as far as any deity or no deity or anything else. I mean, it fuels every single decision that we make, from the food that we eat to the TV shows we watch, excuse me, and everything in between. And no, when it comes to the paranormal, it's even more important because it dictates a very powerful belief system surrounding, you know, maybe your core values or different things. And people are very guarded about their belief systems, and they really butt heads with other people that don't believe in the same things they do. I mean, you could talk about orbs, anything with spiritualism, on down to UFOs, UFO abductions, which was mentioned already in the chat room. Huge gamut of beliefs out there.
Well, we had mentioned before the show that there's a lot more talk out there about Bigfoot and that Bigfoot or Sasquatch exists in another dimension. And I was telling you that a lot of people I know, particularly Native Americans and up here, the Aboriginal people, have believed that the Bigfoot's been between the dimensions for as long as I can remember, since I was a little girl. And yet now people are talking about that, but it really is a matter of belief. You have to first believe there are other dimensions, and that's possible. And I guess the next thing is you actually have to believe that Bigfoot exists. So it just makes sense that way.
Well, the latest kind of theory toward this actually is it's only about 40 years old in the Bigfoot field, but a lot of it's come because the Bigfoot field and UFO field have finally kind of come together, because used to be years ago they didn't even talk to each other. They were completely at odds, but now they're kind of embracing each other because there are connections between those two distinct – yeah, and hopefully they can kind of teach each other about some of the things they're doing right and wrong. But you brought up the important point of Native Americans. You can go anywhere in the world, not just here in the United States, but belief in strange creatures or unexplainable animals, or you can call them cryptids if you want, exist in almost every single culture. And a lot of that is dealing with dimensions or parallel universes in a matter of how you want to define it, how you interpret what they're saying. But, with that is important. But also on the kind of the researcher side, more maybe a skeptical viewpoint of that, I think that they're having a difficult time continuing the research and continuing what they're doing because it has not been any solid, tangible evidence. And I think they're – with this theory, they're embracing a little bit more heavily recently because – they're kind of grasping at straws. They don't know really how to explain how come we can't get a picture of a Bigfoot. How come we can't capture this animal? We can capture a butterfly in the jungles of South America, but we can't capture a 10-foot, 500-pound-plus creature in the United States.
That's always been something that I've been wondering about for years. Why is it? Why do we have just the blob squatch photos, as they call them? Isn't that what they call them?
Blob squash, yes. Any kind of blurry photograph that could be anything from a person in a hoodie to a bear to maybe even a Bigfoot or Sasquatch.
But you know, I know that sounds a bit far-fetched perhaps to some, but it's just like what we do in the anomalous research field. What are the facts and what do the facts tell us? What are the facts? What are they telling us? And when you look at Bigfoot and the fact that there's so many credible eyewitness accounts of seeing it, and yet we, like you said, we can't seem to go out and find the thing. So what's up with that? I mean, and if you enter this interdimensional theory, well, that would certainly explain it, wouldn't it?
It's a convenient explanation.
That's
because
a good point.
It puts everything in a nice little box and puts a bow on it. Because hey, this is why we can't capture photographs. This is why we can't find bodies. This is why prints just seemingly disappear in the woods, which prints disappear anyway. You can follow a deer through the woods and suddenly their prints disappear as well. It's just – that's just how nature works. But it's just – it's a convenient explanation.
I'm sorry. Sorry to interrupt. I've driven on the highway and watched a car vanish. I mean, it's like you give your head a shake for a second, like it was there a second ago and like it's gone. And so you think, well, maybe it turned a corner, maybe, but we're all going like, 100 miles an hour and it suddenly goes away. Like it's kind of crazy. So sometimes you question your own sanity or you question your own beliefs. And again, what do you believe? So I think these kinds of experiences has us question the possibility of other dimensions.
Well, another thing too to consider is that human beings make horrible witnesses. When we see something, it's not always what we really saw. The common thing between UFOs, UFO experiences is, I know what I saw. You know, if I had a nickel for every time I heard that phrase, I'd be a millionaire. Because people think they see something, but again, what you said before, the power of belief, maybe the power of suggestion. We have these beliefs in the back of our mind. We see these paranormal news stories all the time. And when we see something we can't explain, a lot of times we leapfrog that rational thought right into the paranormal explanation because this is too crazy to be true or too crazy to be happening. So this must be something, a miracle or something paranormal or supernatural even.
Well, I remember my very early hypnosis training back in the 70s, in the various states of consciousness and really being quite taken with positive and negative hallucinations. You know, you can put something there that doesn't exist and you can actually tell your brain that. And equally, you can remove something. You kind of know it's there, but not really. You're not going to acknowledge it. So you'll convince yourself. So it's, again, what they call positive and negative hallucinations. This is why I think an education is so important. And I'm going to put a little plug in for the school here. You know, we get a lot of people taking the Certified Paranormal Investigators course, which is great. But going even through the whole program, watching people, evolve and change their thinking and perhaps changing what they believe, but really understanding that we each have this perspective. And it's always subjective. And I think that's the most beautiful thing about the IMHS program is seeing what eyes am I seeing through? And can I really trust that now when we understand how complex we are? And that all boils down to our belief systems.
Well, another positive, too, I have to say about the programs here is that, granted, it's toward the paranormal, but it doesn't teach you the ABCs and the 101 of this is what ghosts are, this is what this is, this is – you can get that anywhere. But this provides you a balanced view, which is everything that I stand for. I try not to side with one thing or the other because if you're focusing on one point, that means you're ignoring the other and you're not really seeing the entire picture. So I pride myself on trying to be in the middle of the road. And unfortunately with the paranormal – I've grown a little bit more skeptical. It's not because I want to be a skeptic. It's because there are far too many people out there that believe way too much, way too easily. So a lot of people have kind of forced my hand to kind of think that way and the way that groups go about their business.
I hear you.
I want to call it business.
We've done the same thing. Grant Rubin does. He's been on the program and Grant. So we talk about that too. We've all become more skeptical,
not a non-believer,
but just skeptical because there's so much. In fact, I can't even watch these reality shows hardly at all anymore. I watch some documentaries, but I don't watch the ghost hunting reality shows. Haven't for years because I just can't take it because it's just not real.
Yeah, I've broken too many TVs by throwing stuff at them.
That's funny.
Yeah, but those shows and everything about them, they're all based on belief.
Well, I'm going to pull another card because this conversation, I think it's inspired by our, by our oracle cards. And this one is deliberate intent. I just flipped one over out of there, deliberate intent. And, that, again, I think we're kind of going along with the power of belief, too, when you have a deliberate intent. And in the little booklet, it reads, the simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is that you desire. Now, that's belief. You have to believe it in order to send that message out. And that makes perfect sense. I mean, there's a connection right there. I think very often we go out with this deliberate intent. I'm going to go and find ghosts, for instance. And you're going to see one. Absolutely.
Right. Oh, and absolutely. Yes.
You're going to see something anomalous and be convinced because you already believe it, and that was your intent to go. And I think in research, that is part of the problem, if I can add that to it. But also in deliberate intent, what do we intend to want for ourselves? Do we want never expanding mind, or do we just want to look for really cool things? You know? And that's always a dilemma, I think, with people.
Well, I think when you first said that deliberate intent, for some reason something negative popped into my head, and negative meaning hoaxing, people having the intention of deliberately deceiving people for their own either personal gain or their own personal notoriety, their 15 minutes of fame, if you will, or just trying to convince other people of their personal beliefs. And one of the big stories in the paranormal news right now is about the Jersey Devil. There was a photograph that turned up last week. If you've not seen it, it's worth the laugh because it's ridiculous looking. It looks like a little goat with wings that somebody – or like a pinata that somebody's just tossed up in the air and taken a picture of. It's pretty ridiculous. But the weird thing is a couple of days later, somebody sent in a video of another ridiculous thing where this looks like a – obvious Photoshop, but this thing like flapped its wings but never made a sound in front of this person who was filming it. But the backstory to it was this woman was a middle school teacher who was an algebra tutor for high school students. So it made it more convincing because this person, a school teacher would never have any reason to lie. So we kind of side with the story, even though the video is nothing – the object in the video is nothing like what's in the photograph. But all of a sudden, this story just took off. It was covered by all types of media. It was in a couple of morning shows on primetime TV. I mean, obviously they were laughing about it, but Good Morning America was one. But obviously they have some sort of interest in the story to show it or to even talk about it or to mention it on the news. Story doesn't get viral because it's not – kind of in any sort of belief system. It gets viral because it has an interest in society or people. It's either funny, you can poke fun at it, it's entertaining, or it's mysterious. And I think this is kind of a combination of those things where it is so ridiculous.
You're saying that people want to believe in something extraordinary, something mysterious, and that's what's piquing their interest?
Absolutely. I think that's – for some people – they want to be a catalyst for – maybe they're caught up in their own personal things and maybe they feel a little weird or conflicted about whether or not they should feel this way. So they create something fantastic to try to fool other people. And when they see it work, like this one worked flawlessly. So many people bought into it, even though a lot of other people said fake right away, which is the knee-jerk reaction anyway. Anytime any photograph – it doesn't matter if it's a UFO landing on the front – on the White House lawn. People are – even if it does happen on live TV, people are still going to point at the TV and say, that's fake. It's a knee-jerk reaction for a lot of people. That's maybe another type of psychological issue some people have about believing or not believing in strange things. They like to live in their perfect little world inside the lines and don't want anything to kind of conflict with their personal belief systems as well. So I guess you're looking at both sides of the coin there when people respond to these types of stories.
Well, I want to make a comment.
Sorry.
Before we do that, if you just want to comment on what she said, then go ahead and then I'll make my statement.
No, I was just saying that Darlene was saying in the chat room that people want to be entertained, and I tend to agree that has a lot to do with it.
So I just want to make a comment on deliberate intent as it relates to the anomalous research field, and then I want to ask you, Brian, a question and make a – I kind of opened a discussion. So the comment or the statement on deliberate intent is what Dr. Vicky just kind of talked about too. When we go into an investigation, we have to go with an open mind, devoid of any preconceived notions. Our deliberate intent should be to find the truth, whatever that means, wherever that takes us. So that deliberate intent can be good or bad. If we go with the intent of hoaxing, obviously not good. If we go with the intent of seeing something, again, not the best approach. We want to go find out the truth. So that's my statement on deliberate intent. And of course, we've talked about deliberate intent on this program many times, and that's the way we work. You know, whatever you focus on is what happens, what you'll get. You know, you focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Now, the discussion that I want to get into a little bit here, which I find fascinating, and we've already kind of opened the door a little bit, and it has to do with this, with what's going on. Okay, so here's what we got. You know, in this modern age, when we got cameras everywhere, everybody's got a cell phone with a camera, you would think that we would be coming up with picture after picture after picture of ghosts, of spirits, of Bigfoot, of UFOs, and we don't. You know, there's just, it just isn't happening. I mean, we get ambiguous photos. They're all ambiguous. Many are a joke, like has already been brought out. Many are hoaxed, or not many, but there's some that are hoaxed. You know, so, but yet people see this stuff and experience this stuff. And so if we're looking for, okay, what's going on here? If you think about it, and this is something that we've been talking about for years, is that in the anomalous research field and maybe even in life, everything boils down to kind of two things, in my opinion, fear or confusion. It depends on who you are. If you are a layperson who just doesn't get involved with paranormal related stuff, you know, you might get afraid of it. You might be fearful. You might see some, experience something, and you're startled. You're afraid. You don't know what to make of it. I mean, how many times have we talked to people who think their house is haunted and they're terrified, and yet ghosts can't hurt you, you know, at all. Yet that's what happens. They get fearful. And then there's we researchers, people who've been around the block a time or two with this stuff. We don't get afraid of it, but we're confused and confounded by it, because we'll come up with, we'll have different cases that almost contradict one another. Well, if this is true, this can't be true, but yet they both appear to be true. So it's like there's total confusion. So we've got all this stuff going on, and yet we can't nail it down. So Brian, any thoughts on that? What's your thinking?
I mean, you covered a lot of it already. I mean, it's just,
sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, my brain's trying to catch up to all this stuff here.
Well, it's.
I think the point, the biggest discussion is what then is real, because people do take a lot of pictures. I guess what is real and what isn't real. And I'm hearing you. Why aren't people coming up with more good evidence? Why aren't they coming up with more other stuff? I think there is all that floating around, but nobody knows what to believe anymore.
Well, I think sure part don't. Of it, it's, I'm trying to think of the word. It's not popping into my mind, but the, when you're talking about ghosts, or, you know, trying to attempt to photograph ghosts, I mean, obviously on the front side of this, ghosts are not actually physical, tangible beings. They're essentially, you can call it an illusion or just a perception of something that's there, but you can't really take a picture of that. But there's also, anytime you're talking any subjective evidence, usually doesn't happen when you're looking right at it. And I think the thing is, what I call it is the elusiveness factor.
Yeah.
So anytime that there's any kind of thing going on is when you're least prepared for it, whether you have a camera in hand or not. And I can tell you dozens of times where I've been in a room with cameras focused on particular areas, digital recorder ready to go, and it's when you break all the stuff down and say, okay, we're done. Boom, something just happens out of nowhere. Or when you leave a room, or when you're turning to look at something else, that's when something else happens. So there's an elusiveness. When you're talking photographs and physical, tangible evidence that you can view and show people, it seems that the anytime you get something clear, like this last week, or actually over the weekend, there was a UFO case in Middletown, Ohio. And as soon as I heard the name Middletown, I knew exactly what it was, because every year in the late summer or early fall, there's always UFO sightings around the airport because they do skydiving. And the skydivers, obviously, with the time changes.
We saw that.
Yeah, the time changes, it gets, you know, darker earlier. And they have – one of their safety things is they put these red lights on so they can watch – so they know exactly where the divers are during descent, so they can make sure that if anyone strays off course or anything like that, that they can ensure that they're safe. And you can see these lights from 4 miles away. And I've talked about this story, it seems like almost every single year. But every single year, somebody that lives in that area snaps a picture or a video or just a story on social media, and it goes viral. But the photographs are usually – and the video is usually really, really clear. But when you see UFO pictures, it's always those grainy, out of focus, completely blurred, or you see those pictures with a little red circle. Anytime you see a picture, folks, with a red circle – or an arrow pointing at something or an outline, it's probably not worth your time, because usually those are fictitious, or it's just somebody seeing, you know, figures in clouds, pareidolia.
Well, and let's talk about the meaningfulness. This is another thing we've talked about too in the past, is that, you know, you look at so many of these pictures and it gets to a point where you say, so what? You know, you get the, like, blob squatch photos or UFO blob photos or whatever. You know, you look at them and you think, well, what does that mean? What is, okay, so there's a speck in the sky, or there's a light in the sky at night. Okay, so there's something there. We don't know what it is, have no idea. We don't want to jump automatically to a paranormal conclusion. But that leads us to the meaningfulness of photos. In fact, anymore, if the photo doesn't even promise to hold some kind of new information, I'm not even going to waste my time analyzing it, because it doesn't tell me anything, you know. So that's what we just don't do it.
Except that it does maybe expand people's belief systems.
Well, it depends on who you are, you know. After looking at so many photos and already having an understanding of many of the things that have gone on, you know, a speck in the sky or a it's just not going to tell me anything. I mean, you can spend a lot of time analyzing, determining whether it's a hoax or whether it's photoshopped or whether whatever it is. But this is the thing I try to suggest or tell anomalous researchers. Have a reason to analyze the evidence. If it's got the potential to tell you something about what's going on, then analyze it. Yeah, always note this stuff. I mean, like specks in the sky, you want to note them, because you might be the beginning of a UFO flap that might evolve into something. So you want to have that for the record, but, you know, choose what you really get into. Otherwise, just going nowhere.
Well, I would have a question for Brian. If there's anything recent in the paranormal field, is there anything that's been popping up that is kind of consistent or scientific or something that, you know, even the scientific as well as the, you know, social media is talking about?
Consistent in what regard?
Consistent meaning it's not just something that blips up, goes viral, and goes away. You know, is there any other, as we were talking about, interdimensional
research? Anything to sink our
feet in. Yeah.
Not really, but that's why we do what we do. I mean, the flavors of the day change. Years ago, rods were the big story.
Oh, yeah.
These supposed
creatures. I get them all
the time
on my cameras here.
Right. You know, these supposed creatures that are ginormous, that fly through the sky at incredible speeds, that are an animal species that we can't document. You know, they travel the speed of sound and yet don't break the sound barrier. Right. All these crazy, ridiculous things. And then I believe it was in Japan, they were messing around with cameras, and they discovered what it was. It was just the way the camera takes the picture and objects flying by. It's the same. It's kind of just I just call them is high speed orbs. That's all they are, you know. And it formed the same type of belief system. And there's another one, orbs. 1992, I believe, is when Dr. Dave Oster, who unfortunately just passed away, October 1st.
Yeah.
And I know I've said a lot of mean things about him, but I meant most of them. But you know, unfortunately, he passed away. But he was the guy who started this entire parade of belief about orbs, and it got out of control. And now, even now, even though we know that 99.9 – well, any – I shouldn't say that 99% garbage because I don't believe in that. 100% of any photographic orb is close proximity or far proximity contamination. Mm-hmm. Now when you're talking about visual orbs, when you're seeing one with the naked eye that's self-illuminating, okay, that's a completely different thing, and I can vouch for that. I've seen one. So it's, I'm not bashing the whole thing. I'm just saying the photographic orbs, when we finally, as a anomalous researcher group, kind of mostly agreed, granted you always have the people that stuck in the Stone Ages or just don't believe in it, finally it moved away from it, you know, then something else pops up. You know, but there's still the clients, if you still conduct client cases, they still have that belief system about orbs, and that's our fault because we perpetuated that for so long.
Well, I'm going to say that's the amateur side of the field's fault. I'm not taking blame for that one. All right.
Well, secrets.
I would like to take a little bit of a different direction on this because I'm, you know, kind of assimilating everything we've been talking about. And I have a kind of a – well, it's a kind of a story slash question in this because how much of our experiences could be psychic, telepathic, teleporting, you know, that it's a completely different explanation. And here's an example. Years ago, I repeatedly saw this weird bird, and I thought it was like in an altered dimension psychic kind of thing for a long time. And it was kind of a cross between an owl and a hawk or an eagle, you know, and it was a very strange looking bird. And yeah, a bunch of birds, you put it all into one. Well, not that long ago, I came across, because I'm always on the internet researching really cool stuff, and I came across this South American bird that looks identical to the one that I saw a few years ago up here in Canada. Now, I'm thinking, did a bird just kind of get lost from South America? Was it a psychic experience I had? Was there, you know, like what other explanation could that be? Because, I mean, I know the bird I saw, and of course we're going back to what we believe. If I'd only seen it once, I'd say that was just kind of twisted, weird. But I saw this bird half a dozen or more times in my area over perhaps 12 months, something like that. And then, lo and behold, it really does exist, and it's in South America. Nobody's going to respond to that.
Well, I mean, I don't know how you'd really answer that. It's just a subjective experience, you know, correlated two different things and added them together. But, you know, something unique like that, if it is something you saw, I mean, there's no way to really guarantee it unless you were to go out and see this bird again and be able to capture it or photograph it. You know, that's unfortunately, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about. Photographs, you know, you can photograph something. A lot of UFO photographs happen when people don't see this object. They take a picture and they look at it later on. Well, it could be something on the windshield. It could be anything. And it always irritates me that people spend so much time trying to figure out those things because it's beyond the experience. You know, you should try to figure out the experience, not the effect. Does that make sense? Like,
absolutely. Well, that was just going to be my next, you know, how much evidence is enough evidence, and would we believe it anyway? I guess that's a question I would pose.
Good question.
You know, because I mean, I can tell you what I experienced, but there's no evidence to back that up. And really, it's just kind of a little, you know, anecdotal kind of, you know, thing. And I'd say, wow, there's that bird actually exists in South America. Well, that's just another little story for a book I can write, you know?
I mean, one thing you could look at is the discovery of this bird. When did this happen? When was the first photograph? And when was this published? If you could eliminate that as a possibility and say, because a lot of times when these stories come out about, well, this creature was discovered in South America or wherever, when the news story breaks or becomes large or viral, it's usually after a few months, after, you know, the information's been disseminated, it's been published in a journal. But a lot of times these things come out real quick and it's just, you know, South American bird discovered. Here's a little picture. But you don't hear anything about it for months because that information is being disseminated. Then all of a sudden it's a big story. that could be a possibility. I'm not saying that's what happened, but just offering, you know, some sort of Occam's razor. Maybe you did see a picture of it and it was in the back of your mind, but it wasn't a major story and you didn't think about it until the story rebroke later on. Well, again, I'm not saying that. I'm just offering that as one of 100 different potential explanations.
I know, and I'm with you on that. And again, positive, negative hallucinations or transference or, you know, I mean, you watch a bad movie and the next day. What I prefer about being older is when I look back at a time prior to the internet, I trust stories or testimonials or, you know, pictures that existed, you know, 40, 50 years ago as opposed to now. Because there just wasn't that much available to people at home to mess with pictures or mess with, you know, they're not, the risk of, yeah, well, the risk of telling stories 50 years ago was, you know, yikes.
But that's when we got all the best UFO pictures, the best ghost pictures.
It is interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm just going to say that's when it was so easy to fake them and nobody knew.
Well, I do trust people's stories from back then more than I do now, I'm afraid, because I come from a time where we didn't have television in our house till I was 9 years old. And putting on a radio once in a while was a big deal. And, you know, my parents were very frugal. You wouldn't use up that much power. So and I would go to the farm and we had a kerosene lantern. So there wasn't any way to contaminate the mind at such a young age as there is now. I mean, minds are filled with all kinds of suggestions. And that association, one experience to the other. I mean, I watch my grandkids and, you know, they've just had so much experience by the time they're 5, 8 years old that, and have been exposed to so many things, everything from, you know, television to video games. And when they see something, it's how then does that young mind translate that information? You see, to me, I'm just not sure that they're credible stories because it was certainly subjective. I mean, it's whatever believing in. There's just no way to tell. I mean, even through some kind of psychoanalysis, you can. I don't know what that is.
All right.
Go ahead, Brian.
We have to be careful, though, about what we interpret or what we believe. I mean, we think about the folklore and we think about urban legends and all these things. These are based on things that happened a long time ago. When you think of ghosts, you think of, you know, the old thing of chains in the attic and the white sheet. Well, where did that come from? Do you know that that's over 2,000 years old? Pliny the Younger wrote a story about that, about chains in the attic, and it was traditional to bury corpses in white sheets, winding white sheets. That's where all that came from because they figured these people were coming back and they were wearing these white sheets. So if we correlate the things that happened that long ago, these stories have been around in our culture for that long. So we're just putting things on the culture and we're just adapting it and changing it. If you look at UFOs, UFOs have changed shape every decade. Why? Because our belief systems about what a UFO should look like.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Food for thought. Food for thought.
Really good points. Really
so let's finish the program here with again exploring some deeper stuff. And I'm not looking for answers. I'm not looking for anything. Just looking for thoughts or opinions or whatever. But let's speculate for a minute. Okay, we have all these things going on. Let's step away from the forest a little bit here. We have all this stuff going on. UFOs are sighted. Credible witnesses. And there have been a number of credible witnesses, airline pilots, law enforcement. And I'm not saying that every one of those is credible, but the reports I've heard are credible witnesses. And it's across the board, whether it's Bigfoot, UFOs, spirits, whatever. Okay, so we've got this stuff going on. We've got Bigfoot, who we can't nail down. But, you know, so many people, credible witnesses, have seen it. All right, that gives us some insight, perhaps, into the greater reality. What's going on? Do we have overlapping dimensions? You know, overlapping parallel worlds? Is it just interdimensional? Is that an aspect that we typically can't see? Is there somebody else? driving this, you know, the puppet masters, if you will, that it's creating some of these different incidences. You know, Vicki, you talked about a vanishing car. I mean, I've read stories of time slips where people be driving and down the road in the United States. The next thing you know, they're in Mexico, you know, and I mean, instantly.
It's bonkers.
Or in some other country, South America, you know, and, yep. And I mean, I don't know if those are credible, but you hear all these things and some of them are credible. So what does that tell us about reality, about the metaphysics of things, about existence and consciousness? You know, will we find answers to this stuff? I don't know. I really don't. I'd like to, but there's something going on here that I don't know that if enough of us are really aware of, or, you know, enough researchers are aware of this, something bigger. It's not straightforward. I mean, it's not like you just see a ghost and, well, it was a ghost, it was a spirit, you know, or you see Bigfoot, it was just Bigfoot, or a UFO. Yep, there's a UFO. There have been so many sightings of this stuff that it ought to be taken for granted, right? I mean, you would think, but yet we can't find a body. We can't find we can't find crash saucers. Government seems to be able to, you know, and then you've got the dude who says he shot a Bigfoot and a juvenile Bigfoot, you know, and why'd you do it? I don't know. I wish I hadn't. You know what? Really? What are you shooting him for anyway? What if that was a dude in a costume? You know, anyway, I'm just rambling, but I'm trying to get everyone who's listening thinking. What else is going on? There's something bigger at work here that it's hard to sink your teeth in. It's hard to grab onto it. I don't know what it is, but it seems like there is. Thoughts?
Well, I flipped a card while you were talking and got open-mindedness.
That's good.
It's true. I mean, it's hard to keep an open mind and be sensible and grounded at the same time. That's the difficulty. I think we are so multi-layered and complex in so many ways that you got to have an open mind to all possibilities. And maybe there are like 100 million dimensions that we're all tapping into. I mean, I love the theory of reincarnation being a possibly just kind of a time warp where we actually do exist on other dimensions, but we perceive it as a past, you know, where we're opening that kind of consciousness or that we think it's a memory, but it's really simultaneously occurring right now. I mean, I love that idea, that notion. But we live in a timeline. We live in a very, I think, limited kind of reality.
Sure.
And we're always being reinforced to that reality to stay grounded. So, okay, be grounded and sensible, but have an open mind. And that's tough to do sometimes.
Brian, you've been in this 20 years now or so, give or take a decade.
Well, I think
all your experience, man, what's going on? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think for me, I've kind of come full circle. Before I started in all this, I had no belief in any of this. I didn't believe in Bigfoot. I was familiar with it from the TV show In Search Of, as well as ghosts and some of these other topics. But I didn't have an opinion. I just assumed that they weren't real. But then when I started getting into this stuff, yeah, I jumped in. I became a true believer on a lot of these topics the more and more I researched. But then the more and more I researched, then the more I kind of came more to an even ground, but have become more skeptical, obviously, of a lot of these things because people are way too quick to believe anything and everything. But I think that's the key, is you have to ignore the mass, ignore the stuff that's obvious, ignore the stuff that's obviously not real, not true, so we can focus on these other things. And that's why I get so irritated with people who are sent an email and they put up a story that's obviously fake. Why are we taking our time to pay attention to that? Why is one of the leading Bigfoot investigators the same guy who perpetuated a hoax in 2008? Why do we take this guy? Yeah. Why do we, well, him too, but why do we pay any attention to these people? Why are we focusing our energy and attention on these things when there aren't all these other things that are happening that I don't have an explanation for and I'm not skeptical about because there's no explanation? you know, maybe Bigfoot is real, but to start looking at wacky off the, you know, throwing stuff against the wall and hoping it sticks is not a way to do things. And when you're changing
your work for me.
When you're changing your yeah. But what the problem is they're changing their theories to suit
I know what you mean.
You know, however it goes, the facts to suit theories to suit facts. You know, they're just changing it to make it sound better, to make their beliefs a little bit more solid. But you know, we have to stop believing, and we have to stop being so negative and just allow things to play out.
You know, I suppose it was this whole thing could be summed up and best stated by somebody who's a pretty smart guy. He said, "I believe the truth of existence is going to be far more complicated and spectacular than we could imagine, full of diversity, and infinite diversity brings infinite possibility." I don't know where he gets this stuff. Now, Michael, my son, just wrote that in the chat earlier. You know, it's very insightful, and it's true. You know, I think that there's more going on than we, and Vicky, you've tuned in on it. You know, we stay grounded. We can't seem to expand in this realm. I don't know what's coming afterward. Maybe in that realm, we'll be able to wrap our brains around a little bit more, or sink our teeth into it. But, you know, we keep trying, and that's the human spirit, isn't it? I mean, that's one thing about the human spirit. Yes, you got a bunch of people trying all kinds of different things, you know, whacking on trees, you know, hollering for Bigfoot. I mean, you know, and they have seemed to get some results. I don't know, but I don't have a problem with trying all these different things. You got to keep trying.
I think that the difficulty is in what one of my great teachers taught me back in the 70s is that the reason we can't get the evidence we want is things are not repeatable. A lot of these things that we see or experience are not repeatable. That's all. You know, there are psychic experiences and experiments in labs. Well, why does somebody have a psychic experience? Well, it's emotionally induced. It's, you know, combination of that with adrenaline or the body and mentality, all those things line up in that moment. It's like a woman who can pick up the car to save her child, but, you know, that's adrenaline. But ask her to do it the next day, she can't do it. You know, it's because things are just not repeatable. And I think this is the difficulty that we have in, okay, I saw something, I know I saw a ghost, I want to see it again. And I want to see it again, and I want to see it again. Oh, I saw a UFO. I want to see it again. And, you know, it's just never enough for us to believe because we're also trying to reconfigure all our other belief systems. And I think that once we start to become, and I think we are, become more accepting that there's more going on, certainly life is way different now than it was 30, 40, 50 years ago, it's more accepting for people to talk about abductee experiences, for instance, or psychic experiences, or, you know, you get more conversations around a coffee table about people who have spirits in their house, and they're a little more casual about it. So I think as we begin to open our minds, I think this whole notion of other dimensions is going to be like coffee table talk.
Very true.
I think.
Well, Brian, we're going to start wrapping things up shortly here. And what else do you want to get off your chest, if anything?
Nothing really. I mean, we've covered a lot of ground tonight, and I think we've examined both ends of the spectrum. So I think we've done a pretty good job in the short amount of time we've had. I mean, I've been on roundtables that have gone on and on and on for hours and hours and hours, and just spinning wheels. But we touched on a lot of good points, and we put the ball on both sides of the court at the same time. So this is a very, very good discussion.
Are you working on anything these days, Dr. Brian? Are you writing a new book? You got a new project going? I'm always
working on something. I have working on an E4 method class. I think I've been working on that for, what, 10 years, Doug?
Or 20.
Trying to get that
so
wrapped up.
So you'll be coming out with a course here soon.
Yeah, hopefully I'm not going to say it in a month or two, but hopefully within the next couple of months it'll be out there. And
but you do have a book, don't you?
Yeah, so. Well, I have 5 books.
Yeah, well, yeah. Latest started. But so the titles of where people get a hold of you and learn more about it real quick.
well, the easiest to get a hold of me and my books and everything about me, where I'm at, what I'm doing, BrianDParsons.com. It's that simple.
Yeah.
BrianDParsons.com.
Well, Brian, we appreciate you coming on the program tonight. I know you had the night off or something from work, but anytime you want to come back, you're always welcome, and we'd like to have you back. So, you know, plan on it sometime. Always a pleasure to have you. And I also want to also thank everyone for tuning in to the live program or listening to the archive. We appreciate your time. Thanks to the comments in the chat. Thanks to Michael Kelly for producing the show. Thanks to Vicky for being who you are. And, of course, Brian, too, because he's a man after my own heart. And thanks to me, too, for finishing this up before the music stops, I hope. Anyway, folks, appreciate it. Till next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night.